Good evening. I'm back again, and I'm thankful to be able to preach here, and I thank God for the opportunity to preach, and it's a blessing to be able to preach the Word of God. Please go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of John chapter 15. That's where we're going to be today, verse 1. And I want to tag this text, Change Through Jesus. And I want to clarify that this passage isn't about, this passage is about abiding in Jesus, but if we do abide in Jesus, we experience change in our lives. Change is unavoidable in our lives. I've come to realize that change happens whether or not I like it or not, and I can't do anything to stop change. Change happens when we just go to school in our education. We start from kindergarten, we go through high school, we change. Our education changes and our knowledge changes. We change through the growth of our bodies. We get taller, we get bigger. I'm trying to get skinnier with mine. Situations, we change through situations and through our experiences. We change where we live and people come in and out of our lives constantly changing. And to be honest, change isn't always good. But it can be if we remain in Jesus. So here we are in John 15, and Jesus has just got done talking to his disciples about the coming of his death. And he has told them that, I am the way, the truth, the life. In John 14, he said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And so as we read verse 1, as we stand and read, he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for this church. And Father, just thank you that you give us a word just to follow you closely. Lord, I just pray that you use me and you speak through me. Father, I just pray that you open our hearts this evening. Father, I pray that you move where there needs to be movement. Jesus, I love you. And in your name I pray, amen. You may be seated. So let's look at verse 1 and 2. I am the true vine, Jesus says, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it may be even more fruitful. And in other versions, it says, my Father is the vine dresser, which means farmer. I don't know if you know me, but I'm not a farmer. My grandfather was a farmer, but I've never experienced that life. Or the work that it takes to keep up a farm. And I'm not sure that my grandpa wanted to be a farmer. I think that's just something that he had to do to provide for his family. He had to make sure that the garden was kept up so he could make profit, so he could provide for his family. And I'm thankful for that. But I'm also thankful to be a branch in the garden of God. If I kept up with the garden, it would probably fail. Nothing would grow. Nothing would sprout. And if it did, it would probably rot. But God's garden never fails. We should be thankful to be called a child of God and that he knows us, for we are fearfully and wonderfully made. If you call the Lord into your heart, if you have allowed yourself to accept the truth of Jesus Christ being the Son of God, that he did die for our sins. And Romans 10:13 says, if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. See, we choose to believe in Jesus in a world that does not want us to believe in Jesus. This world wants us to believe in sin. This world wants us to live in sin. This world wants us to know, wants to tell us that we can believe in Jesus but not put back our past. Not we can believe in Jesus and live in our own ways. This world wants us to know that we don't have to change our lifestyle to follow Jesus. And that's not true. See, we have to change when we accept Jesus. Not change who we are, but change what we're about. See, I have characteristics and I have passions that make me. But I have characteristics and I have passions that make me. And they make me different from all of you. And I have God-given talents. But He doesn't want us to give up our gifts. He doesn't want us to change the gifts that He's given us. He wants us to change the way we use our gifts and to glorify Him. If you're good at serving others, serve Christ by serving others. If you're good at singing, sing a joyful song unto the Lord. And if you're good at making friendships, point your friends to Christ. But where we fail is that we want to stop at salvation. See, we know Jesus, but we don't want Him to have control over us. See, God has made you and I beautiful, but the beauty isn't because of us, it's because of Jesus in us. The other day I walked in here and Kelly Roach, he's talking to me and he called me a legend. And I don't think I'm a legend, but it made me feel good when he did call me that. And compliments do make me feel good. Compliments warm my heart. They make me feel loved and special. And I'm thankful for it, but the only thing good in me is Christ Jesus that dwells in me. Matter of fact, when I'm not remaining in Jesus, I'm not good at all. And you can ask my friends, the people close to me, some of them are over here. Ask them after service. Is Josh nice if he hasn't picked up his word? No, I'm not. I'm nasty. I'm ugly when I'm not praying, when I'm not reading, when I'm not spending time with Jesus. Like Paul says in Romans 7:18, it says, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what's right, but do not have the ability to carry it out. See, when I'm not reading, when I'm not abiding in Jesus, the want to live for Jesus is just not there in my heart. I can't be the God in my own life and expect God to be God in my life too. Let me say that again. I can't be the God of my own life and expect God to be God in my life too. There's a song that I like to sing. It says, the title of it is just Let Go. And they say, let go and let God. See, we have to let go of who we are and let God into our lives and let God change us. That is the action that we continue to take after salvation, is allowing Jesus to prune us, to cut away the bad from us, to cut away the sin from us. But there are a couple of things that we do to stop Him from pruning us. And one reason for lack of change is laziness. When I was 8 years old, I was finally old enough to play football. I thought I was going to be quarterback and running back. But when I went to practice, my dreams were crushed. They put me at lineman. In the first practice, Coach put me up against a sixth grader when I was in fourth grade. His name was Terrence Cartwright. See, Terrence had a mustache in sixth grade. And I was babyface. I was scared. I'd seen him hit people. And so Coach is putting me up against him. And he blows the whistle, and Terrence drives me 15 yards, and he throws me to the ground, and I start crying. I start crying. I want to quit. My dad's just shaking his head. But see, what I learned is that I had to stick up for myself, and I had to fight, and I had to hit Terrence back. So I learned to hit, and I got good at hitting, and I got good at blocking. But I got so good that I even thought I could take a play off. See, I got so good that I thought I could be lazy for a minute. And I thought that if I took a play off from my coach, he wouldn't notice. And not only did he notice, but he made me and the rest of my team do up-downs. See, God sees everything that we do. He sees our laziness. And we often can be lazy after a long week of work. It's Saturday, the Razorbacks are having a good year, they've been cheated. But we want to take our Saturday off from work, and we want to take our Saturday off from God too. And after Sunday, because we went to church, we like to take Monday and Tuesday off from God. And because we're at church on Wednesday, we don't need to spend time with Him on Thursday. And Friday, just as soon as I'm trying to get out of work early, Jesus can't have my Fridays either. Or better yet, maybe you're here on Sunday and Wednesday, but you're here physically and you're checked out mentally. You're not paying attention mentally. See, you're lukewarm. You want to know how Jesus feels about being lukewarm? Read Revelation 3:16. He says, "So then because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." That's where laziness can get you. And laziness not only affects you, but it affects those around you that you're leading. Like it affected my team, laziness affects your family. If you're a leader, if you're leading your family and your family sees that you're being lazy, or you don't care about church, what do you think your kids are going to do? I'm thankful that my parents drug me to church. If you have people around you and you call yourself Christian, but you're not going to church, you're not doing the things that you need to do, you're being lazy, and they're going to think that they can do that too. I've been there. I've been lazy. Or maybe it's pride for you. Maybe pride holds you back. You want things your way. You want to give God 60%, but He can't have 100%. You want to give Him 70%. You want to give Him 80%, but He can't have all of you. 99.9%. You got to hang on to something. Because of fear of what might happen if you give your whole self to Jesus. See, He might change your path. He might make you a preacher. I think we often take pride in the things that we're scared of losing the most. But sometimes the things that we're scared of losing the most are the things that we need to give up. In verse 3 it says, "We know we are clean because of the word spoken to us if we believe in Him, but that does not excuse us from not spending time with Him." Right after Jesus says we are clean, He says, "Remain in Me. I also in you, for no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. It must remain in Jesus. And we must remain in Jesus if we want to experience true love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And when we're not remaining in Jesus, we're not going to experience those things. Our salvation doesn't excuse us from spending time with God. It should propel us to want to spend more time with Him. To want to make time for Jesus because He did save us on the cross. Because we were lost and now we are found. Because He didn't have to die on the cross, but He chose to die for us. Because He loves you and me. And I know He's here tonight, for His word says where two or more gathered together, He is here. But if He was here physically right now, sometimes I'd be afraid to look at Him because I know my relationship with Him is not where it needs to be. We don't want to get better. We want to get by. Verse 5 says, apart from you, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Excuse me. In verse 6, and you're like a branch that withers away and is thrown into the fire. See, life without Jesus isn't life at all. And just because you're good doesn't mean you're saved. And just because you're a Christian and you do good doesn't excuse you from time with Jesus either. If we refuse to accept the change that Jesus brings in our lives, we miss out on the goodness of Jesus. We have to stop asking God to guide our steps if we won't move our feet. He says in Luke 9:23, whoever wants to be my disciple must take up his cross and follow, and deny himself, take up the cross and follow me. When you begin to take up your cross daily, that is when you begin to see true change in your life. Change starts with repentance, asking God for forgiveness because we do fall short of the glory of God. And change also happens where intimacy with God starts, through prayer, through His Word, and through worship. It's an everyday effort to follow Jesus. It's not just Sunday and Wednesday, and it's not just when things go bad in our lives. See, I'm that type of person. If something happens, I fall onto my knees and cry out to Jesus. If something bad happens. I remember my uncle, he had heart problems one year, and I was super close to my uncle. He's been to all my birthdays when I was a kid. I just remember falling on my knees, but I also remember at that point in time feeling convicted because it's the only time I fall on my knees is when I need Jesus to help me in my life. We ought to fall on our knees every day for Jesus. Not just when things are bad, but when things are good. Verse 7 and 8. If we remain in me, if we remain in Jesus and my words remain in us, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. If we remain in Jesus and if we allow ourselves to change in Jesus, we start to want what He wants and we start to glorify Him more. When I accepted this call into ministry, I had to put aside myself. But what I've started to figure out is that the more and more I get asked to preach, the more and more I want to preach. And that's what happens when you serve Jesus. The more and more you serve Jesus, the more and more you spend time with Jesus, you want to spend time with Him because He is so good. So I just want to have a verse of invitation. And I just want to ask you guys, I know we do this every week, and I know that we come here every week and you're invited to make a change in your life. But I just want you guys to take it serious. I think that's all I'm asking. Jesus is real. And every day is not promised. So I'm going to pray. Father God, I just thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you never change in our lives. Father, thank you that you are consistent. Lord, forgive us for not spending time with you like we should. Father, help us and guide us to spend time with you. In your name I pray, amen.